Well, if you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's holy word, infallible and inerrant? And I, brethren, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I was determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And the speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh Lord, we thank you for this wonderful word, your word. And Lord, we pray you will open our minds and hearts to understand it and to receive it, and to believe it, and to act upon it. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. This week I went to a meeting at the mall. And it was in that big glass room section there. You got to watch what happens in your life, you know that. And so I'm sitting there in this meeting listening to the speaker, and he's coming towards a conclusion. And I see our esteemed deacon, now on a rest period, our esteemed deacon walking down through the mall. So I said, hey, there goes Ray Doss. So I threw my hand up and I waved at him, and the speaker said, yes, sir, you have a question. I said, what did you do? I said, I did some quick thinking and came up with a question. You didn't see me, Ray, but I waved. Shortly afterwards, I saw Donna coming up with an anxious look on her face. Ray was heading up towards Dunham Sports. I think she was afraid he was up there spending too much money. It's good to be here today. Thank you for being here. We've been talking about reaching out to people that we know that do not know the Savior. And we're going to be looking together with some people that are volunteered, and I'm going to ask a couple of more to serve, in how we can become more effective as a church in reaching those people that do not have a living faith relationship. And we're hoping that this group is not to be the only carriers of the gospel into the world. No, we're striving to be here to empower the whole body here to be the witnesses and the inviters for people to come in to a true living faith relationship. And I'll have more to say about that later, but today I want to lay out for you something that believers need to remember. We need to remember at the center of redemptive work, in fact, the only center of redemptive work, is the glorious cross of Jesus Christ. That is the symbol of Christianity throughout the world. And it tells a story every time you look at it of the Messiah, the only innocent person who ever lived. One of my favorite preachers is R.C. Sproul. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but he's kind of sarcastic, and that's one of the reasons I like him. I enjoy good sarcasm even when I'm the target, Brian Page. But Sproul said that people wonder why bad things happen to good people. Says there's only ever been one good person and something terrible happened to him. He's the only one that's ever really been good. No, you know, so-and-so's a good person. Why? They're not good. There's only been one good person, truly perfect, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he innocently suffered on the cross. And why did he suffer? Why did he suffer? He suffered to pay our sin debt. Before the righteous and holy God, he gave his life in place of us, the sacrificial lamb, the perfect lamb of God, as the atonement, that is, for the forgiveness and justification and all that means, as the atonement for my sin and your sin. Every time I look at the cross, I think of the blood, and I think of every drop of that blood and how that drop of many of those drops were poured out for my sin. They were there because of Gerald Sanders' sin. And I think that every person will tell you who has really come to the new birth experience, the salvation experience, will tell you that the cross of Jesus Christ is central in that event and in that memory. I remember the night that I truly came to believe that I, a sinner, was forgiven because of the cross of Christ, and that I could trust him to put me before the Father spotless. And I go back to that cross. I go back to that cross. The cross is so important to each of us in this room. For had the Lamb of God not been sacrificed on that cross, we would be dead in our sin. You know that? So we never think about what we've done. We always think about what he's done. And I would argue that Christ on the cross is the greatest witness of God's love that will ever be. Jesus went to the cross because God loved you. Think about that. Let that wrap around you. Not that we deserved it. No. We did anything but deserve it. As Paul writes, while we were yet dead. He doesn't say, well, you're right. You got to the cross because you came right. He says, while you were yet dead in your sins and in your trespasses, Christ died for you. Think about that. The center of our redemption is in the cross of Christ the Savior. It was the sign of the greatest love and mercy, that sign that drew us to Christ. It was that cross that assured us in Christ. Gerald, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because my Savior died on the cross for my sins, and he cleansed them, and he will keep cleansing me and covering me until that day when I go to be with him. That cross is the witness of God's redemptive work for sinners. Dr. Cliff Barrows, I had the privilege once of meeting him at the Billy Graham Evangelism Center up at Black Mountain. I'm looking at right now maybe to get arranged at some point for our deacons to go up there for a weekend conference. They're supposed to be riding me back. And also for those that are planning in our evangelism work to go up there. It's a great opportunity. It changed my life. But I remember talking to Cliff Barrows and what a great soul he was. You know, he was kind of the manager and planner for all of the great evangelistic work of Dr. Graham. And just recently, I read an article, and Dr. Barrows was talking about they had a mission in Boston, an evangelistic mission, and in the first two nights, everything was in place. The weather was great. I think they had it at Red Sox Stadium, and everything was great. The music was great, but very few came forward. Now, you know, one of the things about Billy Graham was he was a very humble man. You know, we've all known people that were big shots. You could tell them, but you couldn't tell them much. But Dr. Graham and Cliff and I believe George Beverly Shea were in this room praying and talking about the meetings, and they began to reflect. Dr. Graham said, "Let's reflect over what has been different." And they all said the same thing to him. "Billy, in the first two nights, you have not mentioned the cross." He went on to receive that and to understand the accuracy of that. And the next few nights he preached the cross. And God did his work. You see, that's what Paul is telling us today in this passage in 1 Corinthians. I hope we hear that. Now here is Paul, probably of all the apostles, the best educated, the most learned. You read behind the scenes some of his quotes, you know that Paul had studied not only Jewish writings and knew them well, he studied the Greek philosophers, he knew them well. I mean, Paul was a really smart guy in terms of worldly education. And he certainly was quite articulate and logical. And yet, what does he say in this passage? Now, I hope we can hear this. See, this is the Lord talking through his word. Listen to this. Paul said, "When I came here, I didn't come using wisdom or knowledge or any of those things. I didn't present the gospel out in terms of some grand human apology or some grand defense or some argument." But what did he do? He said, "I was determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul wanted people to know about the cross of Christ and what that crucifixion meant and what it would accomplish. What it undoubtedly he shared with them, what it accomplished in his own life. That was his emphasis. Not to present some great wisdom, not to present some great philosophic teaching, not any of those things. Because you know what? All human wisdom cannot save you. In fact, some human wisdom is a detriment to being saved. I'll never forget a few years ago, and I wept when I read it, you know, Ted Turner said, and I, you know, his father rejected Christ because of an event. I won't go into the whole story, but Ted Turner said, "Somebody dying for my sins, I just don't get it." He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. But in hearing that is the only thing that'll ever bring Ted Turner to the right place, you see. Human wisdom is not the means. None of our programs are the means. The grounds of salvation, the center of our witness, is to be to tell people, God so loved the world that he gave right there on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the message that saves. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And its effect is not by our wisdom, not by our preaching. Its effect is when we give that witness to know Christ and him crucified, the Holy Spirit takes over. And when we witness to our friends and neighbors, if we do not witness the cross, if we do not give the testimony as how the blood of Christ has saved us and how it can save them, and it happens because God loves them. That's why He's showing them his love, even that they're able to hear it. And then we leave it in the hands of the Holy Spirit, because we don't save anybody. Nobody's ever argued into the kingdom of God. Now, we may have to defend the faith against unbelievers, but salvation comes to hearing the message of the cross. And it all, you know, one of the things the cross always does, when you stand before the cross as a sinner, even now, as a saved person, isn't this true? When you stand before the cross and you know that Christ died for sin, we experience conviction. At least I do. See, I still sin. I don't know about you. I know a few Pentecostals that think they don't sin anymore, but I still sin. And you do too. I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. I know you still sin. And we look at the cross and we know that this sin in our life today was part of the reason that there's blood on that old rugged cross. And I come under conviction. I come under sorrow when I know that I've grieved the loving heart of my Savior who died for me. And for people who have never heard the gospel and the first time they hear it, they come under deep conviction. Wasn't that your experience? And then we realize that even in spite of our sin, God loves us. And he gave his life for us. What's it mean when he gives his life for us? Well, I'm going to give you a quick lesson. You've heard it before. People, only the truly righteous can stand in the presence of God. But God is also a just God. God is a just God. God, I might not always take my sin very seriously, but God always does. And God has said, no, because of sin, no unrighteous person will stand in his presence. And there's a debt to be paid for sin. Firstly, judgment and death. Any person who has not come to a true commitment of their life in faith to Jesus Christ has this at the end of their life: judgment, death, and then secondly, even worse, eternal separation from God. That's consequences of sin. But how can I do anything about my sin? How can I ever attain perfection to reach the fulfillment of the law in my life that I can come before God? I can't. But Christ kept the law perfectly. He owed no debt to the Father for his life. Think about that. He kept it perfectly. But then he willingly went to the cross to say, Lord, Father, I will be the perfect lamb. I've kept the law. And I bestow that perfection on all who come to faith through me because of what you are going to do on the cross. So he who is perfect paid your sin debt. I teased some of my Methodist friends. I said, we in the biblical church believe in the whole atonement. You know, the Methodists, they drop out, he descended into hell. That ought to be in the Apostles' Creed. Because we know Scripture, he did go to the lower place. He descended into hell when he cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't just mouthing off. He was saying at that moment, I am paying the separation price for the sins of the world. That you and I will never have to know that. We don't talk about wisdom. We talk about Jesus, and Jesus crucified. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. He knew that wouldn't save anybody. Not that we don't strive for wisdom. Not that we don't strive for persuasiveness. But listen to what he says. But in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, there are many fine evangelism programs out there, and we're probably going to apply some of them to what we learn. But don't ever make the mistake that people are saved through evangelistic programs. They're not. They're not. People come to salvation when the people of God faithfully give testimony to what the cross of Christ has meant in their life and in the life of the world. It's about His saving action. And when salvation occurs and we're faithful, none of the glory or our power goes to us. We know that we cannot do it. I can't save Ted Turner. I would love to have opportunity to talk with him and tell him about the power of the cross and tell him why he needs it and tell him why he's lost without it, to preach Christ and Him crucified, because it's only in that witness that the Holy Spirit, what does He say? Not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Spirit. That is the occasion upon which the Holy Spirit works in people's lives and changes it. Praise God. So here's the point. It is a central event, the central event of Christ crucified, which calls, this is the way to life, which convicts, you're a sinner and this cross happened because of your sin. And it converts, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I cling to that cross and its forgiving grace. Now, if you want to be an evangelist, if you want to be successful in witnessing, you have to be in the cross. You have to bear witness to the cross. Now, let me tell you something, believers. As a believer, you need to strive all your life to get closer and closer to the Savior on the cross. To reflect upon the cross and what God has done for you in that cross. The dimensions of Christ's sacrifice are so many in our life, and I can't go into all of them today, but one of them that always occurs is that you just want to give Him honor and glory for dying for you. You just want to feast on Him. You want to be thankful for Him. So be in the Bible, God's holy word. Pray for a deeper understanding of the cross in your life, so that your witness will be to the cross primarily and nothing else. Read great books on the cross. Now, I know most of you don't do any reading. I'm not dumb. So a lot of you do, but so many don't. God has given us great witnesses and servants, and we need to draw on them. Go to crosspointbooks.com on the internet and look at those 10 great books on the cross. I just encourage you to get you a copy. It's $27, less than a meal. A copy of John Stott's The Cross of Christ. He'll lead you to so many dimensions of understanding. I'm going to tell you, folks, you'll be able to get a lot more in your life by reading books like that than watching the Kardashians. I wouldn't know them if I saw them, in fact. Probably, except for the cause of Christ, would not want to know them. But that is so important, believers. Paul said, study to show yourself a workman that need not be ashamed of his work. That's a fact. And Stott's book is one of those. My friends, I want to just confess to you, and I'm going to close now. That's the most happy words a congregation ever hears. I'm going to close now by saying this. The cross of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. Everybody that hears that message of the cross is not going to be moved by the Holy Spirit and be saved. There are going to be those that will reject it. That's their problem, not yours. But the cross of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. And I promise you, to those friends and loved ones you have that know not the Savior, if you speak to them of the cross, you share with them the glorious love of the cross, what God has accomplished on that cross, here and there the Holy Spirit will move and some soul that was doomed to hell will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do we preach? What do we know? We know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The greatest gift of God's love. And through Him, the only way to be saved. Amen.